Hey, Tiffany Stratton here from the WWE SmackDown. Tiffy time can be crazy, y'all, and when I get a break, that means it's Chumba time. Chumba Casino has hundreds of online social games and new titles landing every week. There's always something fresh to try, and the daily boosts make Chumba even more fun. They're little epiphanies that make my day sparkle. Ready for a fun way to switch off and take some time for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
Joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring weekly interviews with the most notable names in baseball. Insider calls are presented by Grainger, with professional-grade products for every industry. Grainger has you covered. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. You had a Major League debut. You saw a lot of Major League debuts. Always a pretty special day. Brett, good morning.
How you doing? Yeah.
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. That debut is always special because there's so much going on around. You just want to kind of get it over with. At least I did.
Yeah.
I snuck in. I hadn't slept the night before. I was so excited. And I just remember certain things about it, like getting to the ballpark. It was third generation for me, so there's a lot of press, and I did that. And back in the day, we took infield. I took batting practice. I remember that first at bat.
How'd it go? How did infield and batting practice go for you?
Smooth, but it was just kind of, I was in the fog. You know, I just kind of was, it's hard to explain. Like I said, I really didn't sleep. I played solitaire all night. I was so excited. So I was going on no sleep, but that didn't matter. I had a lot of adrenaline. And I just remember getting to the ballpark. I remember the press wanting to ask about my dad and my grandpa, and which I was sick of asking, answering those questions. I went out, I hit
day one.
A quick session of BP, took infield, went smooth, everything good. I just remember I got to get it. I have to get a hit my first bat. I told everybody I was going to. So I did.
Nice.
Drove in a run.
Nice.
I ended up going 1-for-4. I think I turned a double play late in the game, and the game we won. And this is the big part. I remember going back to the hotel. It was in Baltimore. And I had this massive suite. And I mean, balloons and flowers. I was by myself. And I remember, this is cool. This is the big leagues. Because I'm coming from Calgary. You know, I got four roommates and guys are sleeping on couches. I'm like, oh, this is my new life. And then we went to Boston. It was the next leg of the road trip. And they had me in this. This is back when we had roommates in a corner room with a roommate. I'm like, what happened to my suite? This is BS. And they said, no, Brett, we just did something nice for you for your debut.
What happened to my suite?
Back to reality. There's only so many suites available to the team. And with your tenure right now, you know, 2 days in the big leagues, you got a hit. I don't think you qualify for the top notch of getting the suite on the road.
I'm watching it as we're talking to you. I have it on and I can't see who's pitching. 53
for Arthur Rhodes.
Okay. I've never seen someone look less nervous in their first AB than you in this. I mean, you look hitterish right here. And yeah, you're about to drive in this run off of Arthur Rhodes, lefty.
Yeah. Drove in Jay Buhner.
Incredible.
Well, you know, the funny thing, and I know you like stories. Funny thing is my first at bat in professional baseball, I show up to Peninsula, is the A-ball affiliate for the Seattle Mariners. And I remember getting to the ballpark, War Memorial Stadium, old park, and met my teammates. And they, I remember them looking at me, go, kid, you picked a bad day to make your debut. I said, why is that? They said, this kid, Arthur Rhodes, is pitching. He's a lefty, he throws 100. I'm like, whatever. I hit a triple off the left field wall, Arthur, my first minor league at bat. I get to the big leagues. My first big league at bat is Arthur Rhodes.
Amazing.
So Yeah, and back to you, right? I look hitterish, don't I?
You do. Well, I'm watching it right now.
Check me out about a month later. to caption it, it would be me in the corner in the fetal position with a Bud Light going, the big leagues is hard.
Oh, no, there it is. Oh, that's beautiful. Nice piece of hitting, by the way. Nice piece of hitting there.
Nice piece of hitting. I told everybody that would listen, you watch that first at bat, something's getting hit hard somewhere. And it was a great debut, and it was the start of some humbling times of the big leagues. You got to make adjustments, but it's a fond memory.
August 19th, 1992.
Wow. Yep. So Brett Boone's with us on our SDCCU fan hotline. It's not Big Bang Banking, it's better. And you brought something up that I've always been curious about. At some point, in the CBAs, in the big leagues, all guys get their own rooms. But back when you started, you still had roommates. How did that work? Did you pick roommates? Were you assigned roommates? And some guys negotiated their own deals to get rooms on their own in their contracts. And were you jealous of those guys? How did all that work?
Yeah, I think that was just for a second. We had a roommate, because I think by like the next year or within a year or two, it changed. Everybody got their own room. I think it was a contract thing. I think it was all about status. I think the club had X amount of rooms. And if you were, if you had a year or under of service, no, you're doubling up. So that was kind of the proto. I don't really remember how it actually went. Yeah, I think you had the option of if you had a buddy on the team and it worked out, it's of course. Yeah, you room with who you want to room with. But that didn't last very long. And then it was, the new basic agreement and all that stuff. And you got your own room. But yeah, at the very beginning, I had a roommate real quick.
Okay.
You were used to it because in the minor leagues, you have roommates everywhere you go.
I wanted to ask you, we got Brett Boone on with us. Your brother's team, the little controversy this week in Boston. And I really liked what your brother had to say about, it's the old unwritten rules rears its head. And the Red Sox decide in the eighth inning down six, we're done. That's it for us. We're going to not hold runners on. And Jazz Chisholm's like, all right,
right.
Boom, second, right. Third, and ends up scoring, I do believe, and, trying to get that extra run in a pennant race against a division rival. And I just kind of thought, like, what would Red Sox players or fans be upset about? Like, if you signal we're waving the white flag, that doesn't mean the other team has to wave the white flag either. I don't understand quite why that was such a big deal.
Well, back, 15, 20 years ago, the rule was this. If it was late and the Grand Slam couldn't reach a tie, you stopped running. You see what I'm saying? If it was late in the game, eighth, ninth inning, you were up five or more, you kind of called the dogs off.
Sure.
Out of slam range, as Mud likes to say.
Out of slam range.
Yeah, I don't think that applies anymore. With all these unwritten rules, that there's none anymore. This current crop of players, this current generation, does not adhere to the unwritten rules.
But like, so your brother, who's old school, was like, not like
if you're not going to hold them on, take the base now. The only discretion I think you should use, no matter what generation you're playing in, is you don't rub it in anybody's face.
Of course.
You don't stretch that extra base. You don't take risks when you're way up in the game.
Sure.
But if they're not holding you on, you just kind of have to. It's almost embarrassing if you don't mosey on to second base. You see what I'm saying? Also, if you're the official scorer and you see clearly the defense is waving the red flag and not holding you on, it's at your discretion to say that's not a stolen base.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So from a statistical standpoint, I see with the other team, oh, you're padding your stats, you're doing this. But I believe the official scorer has the discretion. If it's such a white flag situation, it's like, no, you don't get credit for the base because you weren't defended.
Contested, yeah.
Catchers.
Yeah, and today's day, it's just different. If you would have talked to me 5-6 years ago, I'd be, yeah, you don't do stuff like
that. Right.
The game is different. The game is different.
Brett, what was your reaction to the news yesterday? The Angels being sold to Stan Kroenke for $4 billion. Is this going to change the fortunes of a franchise that really hasn't done anything since they won the World Series 25 years ago?
I think so. And I think there were high expectations when Artie Moreno took over the Angels years ago and did the renovations at Anaheim Stadium and the Disney theme, and thought he was kind of going to be the George Steinbrenner of the West Coast and really, you know, formulate a winner. And they won in 02 and nothing really since. Without being in the inner circles there and knowing what's going on, it wasn't a very well-run organization. And the fact that you're getting some fresh blood in there, somebody that owns the Rams and has had success, I think you're going to see big changes there. And I think you're going to see an Angels club that starts to turn the corner and goes about their way of business a bit differently. I think you whip out $4 billion. I wouldn't know what those numbers look like, but I think you're serious, and I think you want to be a major market and be a difference maker when it comes to the Angels. Yeah, it's been a long time since the Angels have been a factor in any capacity. So I think it's welcome. It was out of the blue for me. I had no idea anything was in the works. You had heard a year ago that Artie was thinking about selling the team, and then he pulled it back and he wasn't going to sell the team. And then yesterday I hear the news. So yeah, I think it's good for the Angels organization. I think it's good for baseball.
Booney, talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning. Let's talk situational hitting for a second. And I know you went to Texas last year and you were a hitting coach there mm-hmm. for those guys. And how much did you preach that? How much does a big league team in August, September work on those things? Is it an everyday thing? It's something that you shouldn't have to teach at that level, right? That should have already been taught. But, you know, you've seen it lately with the Padres, these one-run losses. There's a lot of opportunities stranding guys out. They haven't executed bunts. I mean, they're loving to bunt. They're bunting all the time, but they're not executing. They're popping it straight up. They're getting two strikes and then swinging and missing at bat over. For you, when you were in that role, there's a lot, man. There's a lot you got to deal with the nasty pitchers that you're facing that night. But situational hitting, how much did you preach it?
A ton. But what I found was it wasn't the culture and it wasn't taught in the minor leagues. And if you've got a bunch of big leaguers that are established and haven't done that in their career, and then all of a sudden it comes crunch time and you're really grinding and you're in a pennant race and you're asking Evan Carter to drop some bunts down to use his biggest asset, which is his speed, and he's never bunted before. It's kind of like, what are we doing here? Now, I look at the Milwaukee Brewers. I look at the Tampa Bay Rays. This is a culture. This is how they come up in the minor leagues playing, and everybody calls it small ball or whatever they want to call it what you want. It's playing to the scoreboard, and it's playing to win games, and it's one thing to do it and make the effort to do it, but if you've never done it before, you're going to fail. And I just see we get to this point every year. Okay, now it's serious. Now we're in a chase. Yeah. Now we're going to start bunting, hitting, and running and moving the runners over. Well, my players can't do it because they've never been asked to do it. I think it's something an organization needs to do. You start building this in the minor leagues. And that doesn't mean if you're a superstar player, having Tatis and Machado, but having the ability to do it, everybody should have the ability to do it. I look back at great players and just having that full skill set and being able to utilize it, still playing the game. And I preached it every day. We move runners no matter what the situation. If there's no outs and there's a runner on second base, we move that runner to third. Now, we don't give ourselves up.
Yeah.
But we move, we make a conscious effort where I can see you on the bench. Your teammates can see you do it. That's what creates culture. That's what creates a serious team unity. The team, the great teams I've played on, they did it and they didn't ask questions because they just did it. And they passed the baton to the next guy and the next guy did his job and the next guy. And you create an unbelievable chemistry by playing the game that way. You watch the Milwaukee Brewers play. They don't have superstars. They got a Churios. They got a Terang. These are good players. These aren't superstar players. You got a Yelich. You got a Bowers. But these guys play the game right. And they all are fundamentally sound. And it's fun to watch. And the other team, it wears on you after a while on defense. When you see other teams consistently executing the little things in baseball, It's like, this team is superior to us. Oh, it's 1-0. Of course it's 1-0 because they did everything right. And it's really a weapon that should be utilized. Tampa Bay does it as well. It's a lost art, but I think if everybody did it, then you add the star power to teams that have the big superstar players and you play the game right. Oh, now you've got something big. But I think a lot of teams should get back to playing it, putting the ball in play, not striking out so much. I know it's in vogue now. It's not in vogue to strike out, but it's not a detriment when you strike out a lot. Watch Toronto Blue Jays a year ago, almost won the World Series. They struck out the least amount of times in baseball. There's a reason for that. Constantly putting pressure on the defense. And I think it's a way that we should get back to, not at the big league level where I go to spring training as a big league manager and I teach my big leaguers how to do it. It's got to start at the minor league level so these guys are ready for it when they get to the big leagues. You're right, Woodsy. It's big leagues is not a time to teach. You're supposed to be a finished product when you get there.
Another great Big League Wednesday. Amazing. Brett Boone, appreciate it. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Brett Boone, brother coming to town. Aaron, yep. The New York Yankees, off day tomorrow. I'm sure they'll probably get together. All Odyssey Insider guests brought to you by Grainger with professional-grade products for every industry. Grainger has you covered. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.